Well, I do thank the Lord for another opportunity to be here in service tonight. I'm in agreeance to what was said before prayer. It was made mention of how those things that Jesus is to us, a shepherd, rose a share, and I'm just thinking of all He is to me. It was made mention of how He's there when we need Him, how He's there when we feel the need in our life, those voids in our life, that He's there that we can run to, that He's there to supply all our needs. And I feel in very much need of Him this evening. So I would just ask that you would say a prayer for me. Just put a little thought on my heart. It seems like many times it's just through living life and through life circumstances, in my case, just referencing myself here, that He'll teach me a little lesson or check me on some things, and then as I think on those things, that He might turn that into a thought to share with you. So that's the way it came about, and I want to be faithful. Y'all pray for me that I can relate it to you as He related it to me. A little thought this evening is dealing with influences. The influences that we can't help but be part of. Influence, just a dictionary definition, is the capacity or power of persons or things to be a compelling force on or produce effects on the actions, behavior, or opinions of others. I know that's a little wordy. Let me read it one more time. The capacity or powers of persons or things to be a compelling force on or produce effects on the actions, behavior, or opinions of others. I think of the influences that we are affected by in life. Just living life every day, the places we go, we can't help but be influenced. It's almost as if we don't have a choice in the matter. Us here, we most of us, the men here, we go to our jobs. We can be influenced by happenings at the jobs, our coworkers, our boss. Something may be said. Things might take place during the day, might cause you to have some sort of a mood change. Your family might feel the effects of that when you get home in the evenings. So just not being able to control a lot of the times how we're influenced or what we're influenced by. Ladies, I'm sure you can relate. You go to the grocery store. You do your errands throughout the day. So many different people and things that we come in contact with. Things that we see, the way people dress, the conversations we overhear, we stand in line, we see the things on fronts of magazines, and those things many of the times can't be helped. So we are influenced, not always in a negative way. Of course, there can be positive influences. I think here at Services, what better place to be than here among the people of God? I would say this is very much a positive influence on each and every one of us, being hopefully in each other's presence, that we are a positive influence on each other and those around us. So just thinking of how really the choice isn't ours whether or not to be influenced, unless I guess you decide to maybe go shut yourself in a closet and you make the decision to shut people out of your life and you just want to close the door and live in the dark. Maybe then the chances of being influenced would go down. The darkness may begin to influence you then. But so we are influenced in different ways. I think of the stories that we read, the Bible stories that we read, and how people were influenced. I was thinking of Eve and how she was influenced in a very negative way. The serpent came to her, and we won't go through the whole story, but she was the serpent proposed an idea to her, fed her some things, and we know what happened. The outcome of that was she was influenced. Off of that influence, she made a decision. She was affected by the things that was spoken to her. And she made the decision, a very bad decision. I think of Noah and what he was told to do, the task he was given to do. And I think of all those that were there laughing, making fun of him. And he chose to, no doubt he was influenced. But he chose to not let that affect the task that God had given him to do. And he went forth and he was blessed because of that. I think of David and how David was influenced when he saw Bathsheba and the decisions that led him to the choices that led him to make. And how that affected him in his life. And so how we are affected by influence. But I think it's, we are going to be influenced, but then we also have a choice in the matter of how we are going to let that influence affect me. My prayer tonight is, as I hope yours is, Lord, when I'm getting those situations in life, and if it's a negative influence, Lord, help me to have the wisdom to be able to see what this is, to be able to discern through this thing that is influencing me, and then help me be able to make a decision based on the wisdom and the understanding you've given me, and to make the right decisions going forward. And if it's positive influences, Lord, help me to take advantage of those things and use them to my good. And thank you for those people and those things that you have put before me that might be something positive. So we are influenced each and every day. If you're living life, it's just part of life. But I feel like there's a flip side to that, because we are influenced. But where my thought really is this evening is just as easy as we are influenced or affected by things, we are in the same or just as easy in return the influencer. Is that a word? Is that correct English? The influencer? I don't know if it is. I'm making it up. But we have the capability, or we do, influence others just as easy as we are influenced by others. I'd like to turn to a scripture in Matthew. Matthew 5. So the thought is this evening is influence, our influence, my influence on those around me. Matthew 5, look at verse, starting at verse 13. Matthew 5 and 13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Thinking about this first verse we read, verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth." What is the first thing that comes to your mind when we say you are the salt of the earth? Salt. Does your mind think of, my mind thinks of a box of salt with a little metal pull tab on top. Or maybe your little decorative salt shakers that you got on your kitchen table, or maybe by your stove. Salt. it's a very common household item that we use. I'm sure most of us use it daily. Most of us, maybe excluding Brother Michael. But I think it's, we know it's used to enhance. It's used to bring forth. It's used to enhance what the food is supposed to taste like. And it does those things. But I think of it as, I do know that there is a deeper meaning to it. It's used in more than just making food taste good. It's got many uses. The first thing that comes to my mind, though, is maybe I got some French fries. I need some salt, so I grab a salt shaker and I put it on my French fries. And man, it just makes my French fries taste so much better. And it does serve that purpose. But I did a little bit of research on it, and talking about back in Hebrew times, Hebrew customs. Salt was a major, major, major commodity back in those times. It was highly valued for many different reasons in Hebrew culture. In some areas of the world, it was so valuable that it was used for currency. It had such value on it that it was used in trade as in substitute of a money or a physical coin. There were battles fought over the control of salt. Lives were lost over how valuable salt was. Salt was valuable. It was used for preserving things. As you know, back then they didn't have refrigerators and freezers. And how else to preserve your meat? Coat it in salt. Seasonings for food, additives for animal foods. It was added to most meat and animal offerings and sacrifices. According to research, I could not back that up with a biblical scripture. It was a symbol of hospitality. Host bless their guest by using salt. It was used as an antiseptic. And even in the book of Numbers and 2 Chronicles, there is mentioned a covenant of salt. So many, many uses. So we read this verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Thinking back over these many uses, let me back up a little bit. This verse 13, when it says ye, who is Jesus talking to? I think it's very important to realize who he's talking to here in this 13th verse. And if you go to verse 1 of this chapter, it says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him." So he left the multitude. He went to get away from the multitude. So who is he talking here? He's talking to his disciples. He's talking, I think that's very important. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to those that he has called. And he is talking to those that, not only that he has called, but to those who responded to his calling. All right, so now we read verse 13, and it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." He's not talking to the multitude here. He's not talking to everybody else around him. He's talking to a certain group of people, certain individuals. So, if we claim to be his disciples and we claim to follow him, these words are to me. If I claim to be a believer, this is to me. And he is saying to me, "Ye are the salt of the earth." So I think of all those valuable things and all those precious things that salt held. And applying it to the value that salt had to the influence of the disciples, the influence that they would be able to have. Salt did hold great value. I believe Jesus held his disciples and we all. He holds us all in great value. He appreciates each and every one, loves each and every one. Salt was used in spiritual offerings. It was attributed to generosity. It was represented in a covenant, in a partnership. all these wonderful things that salt, the benefits of, and I, from what I believe and from what I've read, that he was able to attribute these things to his disciples and what he expected out of them. All these, the good things that salt can do, these things, by my power, working through you, this is the kind of effect that I want you to have on things. Ye are the salt of the earth. All right? I found in my research, since Israel was blessed by its very close proximity for their ability to obtain salt, and that geographical location would have been by, they were very close proximity by the Dead Sea. All right? And it was a very, very, it was a very good source for them to get some of their salt. It wasn't the only source. I mean, what they would do, they would go and they would get water out of the sea, and by natural process of evaporation, you would let the water sit out, the water would evaporate, and you would have the salt left behind. And they would gather that salt, and that was their thing. That was their valuable thing. All these things that we just mentioned, that's what they would have. But back then, what is different from back then and what is different from today is our salt today is processed, believe it or not. Most of it is processed. It goes through different things. And we have a very, very pure form of salt, of what we know as salt, what we put on our food. They didn't have that luxury. So their salt was very valuable to them. But their salt, be it did not have all the process, it did not go through the process that ours does, it tended to spoil much, much sooner than what we know of salt today. So, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savour. So it was very, very common for salt over a period of time to go bad, which is what we're not accustomed to. If the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? Just as salt can lose its effectiveness, we can lose our effectiveness. On the things that God has worked through in our lives, has showed us things in our lives, and those things that He has given us to work with, we can, by living life, by being around different people, by being around others, those things that He has given us and put into us, we can lose those things and become negative influences to those around us. So, Lord, help me to be able to tie this in. There are certain ways the Lord wants us to act. There are certain things He wants us to do. He has given us things that are beneficial through, not of ourselves, but through His working and His dealings and the power that He has given us. There are things that He has given us to be beneficial to those around us. And Lord, help me to be able to utilize those things that He has given me and to be a positive influence on those around me. And it goes on, ye are the light of the world. And the same, if we can apply this the same way, ye are the light of the world. We are not the main light. He is the light. We reflect that light. Lord, help me to reflect what You are as I go about and I'm among others, and I, whether I'm realizing or not, the effect I'm having on others, help me to reflect so much of You and what You are and what You stand for, that it will be a positive influence and not a negative influence on those around me. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Unto all that are in the house. it's easy for me to come here to service and be church-like. It is. I can put on my Sunday clothes and I can come here and I sit here by my wife and I feel like it's this way with most of us. And we put on our best appearance. We do. We put on our best. We put on our best actions. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. And we come, and I'm hoping I'm a positive influence on those around me. But it says to all that are in the house, we have to be more than a positive influence to just those here. We need to have the same influence on those outside of these walls, on our jobs, everywhere we go. Lord, help me to be, have the characteristics that salt has, and help me to be that light that I can reflect you. Amen. Matthew 16:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Not that they may see my works as, look who I am, look where I'm sitting in church, look at what I can do, but that they can see, as I influence others, that they can see my zeal, that they can see my fervency, my sincerity, my faithfulness, my love to the Lord, my courage to press on, that my actions affect others in a positive way, that they may see Christ in me. That's the influence, that's the effect, that's the example that I want to have on those around me. I feel like this set of scriptures can go much. I know it can. I feel like there's such a deeper meaning than I'm capable of bringing out. But I feel like the Lord would be pleased to keep it simple. And I want to tell you, I have a burden. My burden this evening is, it's not that we are only influencing those around us in a positive way. We do need to influence those around us in a positive way. But my burden, or my burden this evening is, it was that we influence those right here among us. Those that we're sitting next to on these benches. Those that I call my friends and my family. Those that I call my brothers and sister in Christ. Those that I call my wife. And yes, even my children. That's where my burden's at this evening. Is that we can influence those right here among us. Because I believe that's where it needs to start. It needs to start right here influencing. I said it was easy to come to church and be church-like. And I do it all the time. Not lifting myself, but I do it all the time. I come every week. I'm here in services as well as you. And it's easy for me to come and sit beside my wife and call the songs. And it looks, it's a positive influence. But that also has to, those influences need to carry over into our home life. And to the other places that we go, not just here. I started out telling you that this thought came to me by a little happening in life, just living life. I'll relate that to you. I'm kind of telling on myself. A couple nights, and this is, it seems like such a little thing, but I felt the Lord really, really check me on it. A couple nights ago, me and my family were in the vehicle. Coming home from town, headed home, and our route took us through a little town up here, LaRonger. And I needed a bag of ice to bring home with me. And I turned around and my boys were in the back seat. And I looked at them and I said, hey, whichever one it was, I said, I'm going to pull up to the ice machine. I said, I need you to get out and get a bag of ice for me. I said, you think you can do that? Now, I knew in my mind that I had never stopped at the ice machine and let him go get the ice out of the machine. So that's what I said. I said, do you think you can do that? And he said, well, he goes, I'll try. I said, okay. I said, well, let's do that. So we pulled up and I handed him the change, whatever it was, the dollar and some change. And he goes up to it and he's kind of just looking at it. And, he's trying to kind of figure it out, you know. It's not something we do all the time. He's not familiar with it. And I kind of gave him instruction on what to do, put the change in, and he did that. And he told him to hit the button. He hit the button. We wanted a bag of ice, and nothing happened. Oh, man. I thought, man, this machine done ate my money and ain't gave me nothing in return. And it just kind of aggravated me a little bit. And I may have showed my frustration a little bit with him. I said, well, hit the button again. You know, do something. Don't just stand there and look at it. I mean, I don't want to lose my money. So he hit the little coin return thing, and sure enough, they spit out quarters. And I said, well, try it again. So he tried it again, and he put the button, and it worked this time. The bag of ice came out. So he gets the bag of ice, and I said, all right. I said, well, look, I said, you got to pull apart the top. I said, then you tie it up. And he looked confused. Well, if you remember, and I don't know how often you go to the ice machine here in LaRonger, but if you remember, you used to grab a bag of ice, you twist it, and it's got the little wire ties, right? And you tie it shut, like a little bread tie or something. But these bags aren't set up like that. They got a little perforated edge on each side of the bag, and it's just enough you can pull it apart, and it gives you just enough slack you can tie it and make a knot in it. He didn't have a clue of what he was doing. And I'm sitting there in the vehicle, and I'm already aggravated because I thought the machine took my money. And he's sitting there, and I can't get as loud here as I did there, all right? And I'm telling him, I said, look, just pull the plastic apart and tie it up. Man, he's got his fingers all in this stuff and pulling plastic, and it looks like it's about to rip the bag open, and he went nowhere close to the perforated edges. And I'm going to tell you, I got aggravated. Just something that small. And I feel very, it's embarrassing for me to tell you, but I did. I got frustrated. And I'm leaning out. I had the window rolled down and I'm leaving. And I said, come on, son. I said, what are you doing? And finally, he wasn't able to get it. So I opened the door with the attitude that I shouldn't have. And I walked over there and I grabbed the bag out of his hand. I said, here, just do it like this. And I showed him and I tied it up and I said, put it in the back of the vehicle. And he went and he put it back in the vehicle. And I got in the vehicle and I'm driving down the road and I thought, man, what did I just do? He didn't know. He didn't have a clue. He had never done anything like that before in his life. He didn't know. And I'm going to let just that little bitty thing affect me and my emotions and the way I react. It's such a little bitty thing that really doesn't mean anything. All that happening took probably an extra 2 minutes out of my life that I would rather not have taken. And I thought, what was my influence on him at that time? What did he see in me? Did he see a light? Did he see me reflecting? Did he see me reflecting Christ? In my little bit of frustration? Oh, believe me, that's not the first time. I'm the kind of person that I like things done. I like it done a certain way when I want it done. And there are many times that It's just the way I was raised. If you don't hurry fast enough, then you need to hurry faster. There's a certain way that things need to be done. But Lord, help me that I don't react in such a way that it makes my children question, what kind of person is Dad really showing me here? I come to church, I sit right here, I get up behind this pulpit, and I attempt to preach, but then I go home and I show those kind of actions to those that I say I love the most. What kind of influence am I showing to those around me that I hold dearest to me, that I cherish the most? Are they seeing the salt? Are they seeing the things that the Lord has put in my life that He wants me to use for His good? Or has my salt lost its savor? I think sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in where I can go, what I can do. Oh, I don't want to go over there because, man, those things are going to influence me, and I don't want to do this, or all those things. I think we can get caught up in how much we're influenced. But folks, it's just as important that we keep in the back of our minds that we influence those around us as well. Our actions influence my husband, my wife, and yes, even my children. I don't want to confuse those around me. I don't want to confuse my wife. I don't want to confuse my children. I want them to see that light reflecting off of Christ. Just as salt, ye are the salt, just as salt has all those benefits, if there's something the Lord has put into me that can benefit those around me and my wife and my children, Lord, help me to know what to do with those things. I don't want my light to go out. I don't want my salt to lose what it's supposed to do. I don't want it to lose its saltiness. I think of the scripture, I think it's over in 1 Timothy somewhere, where Paul was, who is Paul talking to when he said, "Let no man despise thy youth"? Timothy. He said, "Let no man despise thy youth." What was the next thing he said to him? "But be thou an example of the believers." Be thou an example of what you are claiming to be. Who are you claiming to be? Are you claiming to be a disciple of Christ? Yes, I think we could all be in agreement. That's why we're here tonight. And if that's what we claim to be, then Lord, help me to be that example. Help me to have that effect on people, a Christ-like effect on those around me. I think of the words of a song that we sing, "More Like Christ." Some of those words, "More Like Christ in Deeds of Kindness." You know, even when you got to get a bag of ice out of an ice machine, I think that falls under those few words, "in deeds of kindness." Those little things in life that affect our actions, that affect our thoughts, that affect our words, that can be a negative influence. More like Christ in deeds of kindness and in all the words I say. Patient in the depths of trial, that my Savior I may please. What kind of influence am I having on those around me? I grew up with some positive influences. I grew up with some negative influences. I've had some of both, and I know you have too. Lord, help me to learn from those to be challenged from those, that I would be able to go forward. Lord, that I can learn to be more like You, that I can shine Your light, that I can reflect Your light. And Lord, those things that You put in me, that, Lord, if You want to use them for Your good, and You want, and that they may see my good works. No, not that they can see how much good I'm doing, but that they can see Christ in me and that through the things I do, and that who should be, and that God should be glorified in those things. I want You to be able to look at my life. I want my children, my wife, those around me, they're going to be influenced by me whether I like it or not. I hope it's a positive influence. And I hope that's my burden tonight, is that let's be careful. Let's be careful with our actions around each other, our words around each other, our conversations around each other. Not only to those outside these walls, but even us here as a congregation, because we are influencing each other. We don't think about it much of the time. I don't think we give it much thought. I think we tend to think of the influences that I'm under and that everybody has on me. But we influence others just as easy as they influence me. Lord, help me to be a positive influence. Help my salt to keep its saltiness. Help my light to continue to shine. Help me to be more like Christ. I thank You for Your time tonight.